Hello everyone, welcome back to the Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm Ross Edwards, and today we're going to talk about what is the meaning of life. So of course I'm laughing, and I'm laughing because I wonder what on earth got into me when I decided to talk about this, because I know I've been this month talking about existential questions, philosophical questions, and trying to give good answers, well-reasoned answers, free of sort of dogma and free of just like a simple framework and all the rest of it, and also trying to make it authentic. But this one's like another level. It's a really tricky question. It's a really tricky question to answer. What is the meaning of life? And what I'm going to say right now is that I'm not going to oversimplify it, and I'm not going to give you cliched answers. You know, it'd be so easy for me to say, oh, it's about love, or, oh, it's life is about family. You know, when we really boil it down, life is about family. Because for one thing, I don't believe in those things, so I'm not going to sit and lie to you. It's not that I don't believe in love or family, I just don't think they're the meaning of life. I mean, what if you don't have love or family? Does that mean your life is meaningless? I don't think that has to be the case. And they're very fundamentally limited. So these simplified answers, I'm not going to touch them. I'm really not going to go near them, because I just think they're very simple little phrases we use to try and describe something that is monumental, and it's kind of, it gives me pause to talk about what is the meaning of life. However, and this is something that I myself would be guilty of, maybe not so much nowadays, because I think I treat topics with respect, and I don't overcomplicate them for the sake of overcomplicating them. I just go into a lot of detail. But it is it's very tempting to overcomplicate this, to give very long and sort of complicated and ungrounded answers, answers that they sound nice and they sound well-reasoned, but actually, when you try to apply them to your life, or you try to like relate to them, you find that you can't. And to me, that is just pointless. Like, what is the point of me sitting here for an hour or however long this is going to be and giving you something, or even for myself and my own reflection, to come up with answers that are just simply, they're just abstract nonsense that I'm regurgitating? What is the point? There's no growth involved, and really it's a defense mechanism against, you know, making this stuff very grounded and very practical, and it's a defense mechanism against raw hard reality. It's also tempting to look to philosophers or gurus for the answer. You know, I could just sit here and I could go into ChatGPT and I could say, tell me how 20 different historical philosophers, you know, famous philosophers in history have answered the question of what is the meaning of life, or spiritual gurus or religious leaders. You know, I could literally, I could do that, and I could just sit and read what they did, and I could pretend it's my own work. But it's, again, that's missing the point. What is the point of getting someone else to tell you what the meaning of life is? And now, I'm not saying that you don't listen to what I'm saying, and maybe I have something vaguely important to say, right? But what I'm saying is, there's no point looking to these established authority figures, because for one thing, what they say might have nothing to do with your life. It might not apply to you. You might not resonate with it. And therefore, it doesn't really explain how you make meaning in your life. But also, their answers are highly, highly skewed by their own psychology, by their own needs, by their own sort of financial situation. You know, they might have to say certain things, even if they're like a famous spiritual person, they might have to say certain things and present certain things just to present a front. Or if they're a scientist, they have to give a scientific answer. Or if they're some religious person, they might have to just frame it in terms of Buddhism or Christianity or whatever it is, or what the Buddha said. And to me, this is just, it's just nonsense. When we're talking about the meaning of life, obviously we all have biases, we all have our context that is I'm not going to sit and deny that I don't have those things, but we have to be very aware of how much we skew these fucking big questions. Like, and if we're not even aware of these basic ways we skew them, and we're not careful about how we answer these questions, well, we're nowhere. And frankly, a lot of authority figures are basically just speaking from within their own paradigm, and they have no idea that they're doing so. And not only that, they're speaking from psychological needs they have, from bruises they have, from enemies they have, you know. And we don't want that with a topic like this. And quite frankly, I'm done with just parroting gurus, and I've done enough of that. And I'm writing my own books now, and I want to develop my own outlook. Another problem with this question is that many of our answers simply beg the question. So just to give you an example, I could say, what is the meaning of life? Tell me what the meaning of life is. And you might say, well, it's about family, Ross. Well, you're begging the question, aren't you? Because I could say, well, what is inherently meaningful about family? You know, is it always meaningful to have a family? Is there actually downsides to it? If that's the case, then can you say it's the meaning of life and that's the end of it? What if you don't have a family? There's plenty of people that they either don't have brothers and sisters, and their parents are no longer here, and they don't have aunties and uncles, or they're just estranged from their family. You know, what happens then? Does that mean that their life is meaningless? Again, not that's not necessarily the case. A lot, if you look at sort of answers to big questions, and this literally applies to everything I've talked about this month, and it might have, if you look, it might be a theme you notice in how I go about these things, and is that I'm trying not to beg the question, because most of the time we beg the question. Another example, I could say to a scientist, I could say, what's the meaning of life? And they could say, well, oh, the meaning of life is so that, you know, Darwinian evolution can take place and creatures can get more complex. But then that's just begging the question, why is that meaningful in any way? Like, why is that inherently meaningful? You see, and so these partial answers are very, like, they're extremely problematic. And that's not to, like, be cynical and dismissive of them, as if to say there's no meaning in family and there's no meaning in, you know, biological evolution or whatever answer you want to give. But it's just to say, you know, that may be your answer, but think more deeply and more broadly about it, and you realize it's a very partial answer, you see. I also think it's really important to notice that when we think about these questions, we often want like an easy, packageable, definable, repeatable answer, as though it was like a phrase that we read on Instagram, you know, or like a slogan. And you know, you might be turning on this episode today and thinking, oh, Ross is just going to give us like one of these phrases, you know, life is about love, or life is about growing and expanding. I'm not going to do that, folks. It's not an easy question. It's not something you can just give a slogan for some of the reasons I've mentioned above. And frankly, I just don't believe in that at all. I really don't. the key problem for me is we really need and want meaning as human beings. And so when you come across a question like this, or a podcast episode like this, or whatever, a book, and someone seems to be offering the answer, it really feels like very satiating, and very kind of, it has this kind of allure to it. It's like, oh, this person knows the answer. And this is just such an illusion. Like, I can't even begin to describe. The problem as well is that if you're in that state of like really needing an answer, how fucking discerning are you going to be? Like, to me, the more hunger you have for an answer, the less discerning you're going to be about the answers that people give you, because you're just fucking, you just want an answer. You don't really care about the answer is true. You just want a nice glass of water to satiate your thirst, kind of thing. And I remember, actually, I used to be into The Simpsons back in the day. You know, it was probably 15, 20 years ago now. I'm 30 now. And I remember I can't remember the episode because it was a long time ago, but basically at the end of the episode, Homer asks God what the meaning of life is. And God is responding and he says, "Well, Homer, the meaning of life is," and then the picture fades and then the theme tune comes in and they leave it on that cliff edge. And I remember feeling so disappointed at that moment because I was thinking that they were actually going to like come up with something profound. And that maybe tells you about something, what I was like when I was 10 or 15 years old. But that's exactly what I'm talking about. That is a mechanism I'm talking about. Now, when I was 10 or 15, I obviously didn't realize that, hey, I have this need to know what is the grand meaning of all of this. And maybe that actually reveals something very powerful about the nature of the human mind and the nature of meaning itself. But now I have to be honest with myself and say, I was looking for an easy answer. I was looking for someone else to give me the answer. And that's a very problematic place to be in, because if the Simpsons God had finished the sentence, I probably would have just fucking believed them, because I was 10 or 15 and it's the Simpsons and I'm in love with the Simpsons, and, you know, they could have said anything and I probably would have believed them. And so taking all this into account, I'm not just going to, you might think I'm just trying to avoid the question here. I'm not. We're going to get into it right now. To me, there's two levels on which we need to address this question, because if we don't, things are going to get very confusing very quickly, and because they're really two very different domains. First of all, we have to answer, what is the meaning of my personal life? And I say my personal life, I literally mean you as an individual. What is the meaning of your personal life? And two, what is the meaning of life itself beyond me and beyond any individual? So we're looking sort of the meaning of our individual lives, or your life, or an individual's life, and what is the meaning of life itself as a kind of general idea, life as the whole of life, all of life. So we're going to talk about personal meaning first of all. I guess another trap that I could fall into here is just trying to like tell you what the meaning of your personal life is, because that would be highly biased. It would say more about me than you, basically. It would basically just be me revealing my psychology. And so this is something only really you can answer. What is the meaning of your life? How can anyone answer that question for you? Personal meaning is a highly idiosyncratic thing. When you work with people like I do, doing coaching, you realize how different people are. you realize what motivates people is very different. What people are afraid of is very different. Their life stories are remarkably different. So when we're talking about meaning, you know, we're talking about why are we here? This is highly, highly idiosyncratic, people. I like to think of it as sort of your taste for food. You have your taste for food, and it changes over time, of course. It matures with age, usually. You know, when you grow older, your palate increases. You have tolerance for more unusual, perhaps, tastes, or more offensive tastes, or more varied taste. It's highly personal. And you can't just adopt someone else's willy-nilly. You know, I can't just tell you what food you should like and what, you know, what flavors you should find offensive and what ones that you should be drawn towards, you see. Meaning is very much like that. Something that gives my best friend meaning might not give me any meaning at all. I might just think it's nonsense and I might just wonder why on earth we're doing this. And the same with you, you know, there might, I could sit here and tell you all the reasons I feel that life is meaningful, but it might mean nothing to you. And so what is the point in me doing that? There's no point. And any answer I give, any easy answer that I give, would be doing that, you see. So there's another layer to this, is that meaning, personal meaning, is very developmental. What I mean by this is that as you go through the levels of development, your meaning system changes dramatically. And actually, not just the content, like not just the actual things that give you meaning or don't give you meaning. It's that the way you construct meaning actually changes over time. Now, I'm not going to go into the details, but you see, to give like one answer and to proclaim this as like the answer, it's very problematic. Personal meaning is actually, the way I look at it, is essentially a construction, and it's pretty arbitrary. You know, we think we choose our meaning structures consciously, and while there might be some deliberation involved and weighing up the evidence and all the rest of it, a lot of it is just pure circumstance. You know, just to give you an example, one of the things that used to give me a lot of meaning, not so much now, which shows you something as well about me and about how meaning works, was mathematics. You know, for a good about 10 years of my life when I was younger, mathematics was extremely meaningful to me. Why? I mean, I can give answers, but there a lot of it's just question begging. And no one else around me, as far as I know, was really fascinated by mathematics, even when I was at university. And so, why was I drawn to it? I have no idea. I didn't choose it. You know, I didn't sit there and weigh up the pros and cons of finding maths meaningful. I just found it fascinating. Like, it feels like an accident, really. There's nothing I can say that, there's nothing I can really point to and say, well, that was a turning point. It felt like a switch that just turned on by itself. And I think that this is true for a lot of our personal meaning. I'm not saying it's constructed to dismiss your meaning structure. I'm just trying to illuminate the fact that it's just arbitrary and it's very idiosyncratic and it's very much to do with circumstance and coincidence, really. And actually, if you look at your meaning structures, it subtly changes, you know, over the decades. It's quite obvious to see how your meaning structure changes. Over the years, it's still obvious. But even months, weeks, and days, your meaning structures change. You know, the reason you get up in the morning and the things you do changes every single day, very subtly, and very down to like very trivial details, but it does change. And it's just like this vibrating, ever-changing kind of I don't know what to describe it, you know, just like a flux that is ever changing. Right now, I want to ask you to ask why your life is meaningful. So you might like to write these questions down and pause the episode for a few minutes and sit and reflect on them, or reflect on them later on, but really reflect on these questions. Why is your life meaningful? Why live your life instead of not living it? Why do you do what you do every single day? Why do you get up in the morning? You know, why not just stay in bed? Why not? What drives you? You know, what is actually driving your actions? There's meaning at the bottom of everything that is driving your actions. There's some sort of meaning that you're assigning to them. So what is that at the very bottom? And I don't want bullshit answers to these questions. You know, I don't want, oh, well, I get up and make breakfast for my child because family is important to me. Right, but you're begging the question, why is family important to you? Right? And that might be a BS answer. It might be something that you've adopted and picked up. It might be something you don't really believe in, but you feel like you have to believe in it. Or you might question it 10 times and you might realize, oh no, family is actually important to me. But again, even if it is important, that's still a cliche. Family is important to me. Really, what's going on is that you love your child, you feel a connection to your child, you know, you care about them. Family being important is a cliche, you see. And I don't want cliches. This is the meaning of your life we're talking about. Question your answers to these questions and recycle them, because again, a lot of them will just be question begging, and a lot of them will not be very authentic, and a lot of them will just be kind of easy ways to answer these questions. We're not doing this to tear apart your meaning structure, because ultimately something is driving you, and well, many things are driving you, but you assign meaning to lots of things, and those things drive you. And that is the case whether you know it or not. Now, of course, we might discover unpleasant aspects of that that we would rather not discover. Well, in that case, that would be a faulty meaning structure, in my opinion. But we're trying to get to the rock bottom conclusions here. We're trying to get to what are the elements of your meaning structure. The things that you value for your own sake, the things that when you question, why do I value this, you can't really describe it, right? So these are like the elements of your meaning structure. And as I said, it's a bit like your taste for food. It's highly idiosyncratic, of course. We don't want to over-exaggerate. You know, many people like chocolate, for example. That's not very idiosyncratic. But there are elements of your meaning structure that are very idiosyncratic, for example. And you might think I'm avoiding giving you an answer, but I could give you some profound answer about why an individual life exists. I have those answers inside me. But those are my answers to the question. And I don't think that's what you want. I think what you want is, What is the meaning of life for me? Because as I said, I could give you fundamentally why I think, what is the meaning of this? Why am I here as Ross? I could give you that on a very deep level. But for you, that might just not resonate whatsoever with you. And so it's a waste of time. We might, at the end of the episode, get to that big answer that I'm mentioning here. What I want to do before talking about sort of collective meaning, what is the meaning of life itself in a sort of general sense, I want to talk about the trickiness of meaning. And we've touched on this a few times, but there's a lot more to say, and I want to be very kind of explicit, and I want to be very thorough in my analysis here. One thing we have to realize just as a structure of the human mind, as a structure of being human, is that we really, really want life to be fundamentally meaningful. And actually, when we ask this question, this is really what we're asking. We're sort of looking for something that stands on its own and that is unquestionable as a meaning structure, as though everything else points to that and it all counts towards that. But there's a very big problem with this. One of the problems is that is an assumption. Like, if you've never seriously questioned this, that is an assumption to think that life is fundamentally meaningful and that there is like rock bottom meaning. You know, why does that have to be the case? I'm not saying it's not the case, by the way. And actually, when I ask myself, I don't think that that is the case. But I'm open to it being the case. And sometimes these things go full circle as well. It's highly problematic, and it just begs the question. Like, if I give a grand reason, or if we come to a conclusion for some grand reason for life, our personal lives existing, I can just ask the question about the reason that you're giving. And I've given you examples of sort of, not trivial examples, but more kind of everyday examples. But I could say, for example, the meaning of life is that this is God expressing itself in infinite ways. Right, but how does meaning relate to that? You know, what is the meaning of that? Is there any meaning to that? Or is it just a kind of play? Is it just kind of like a frivolous expression? You see, we can always ask the question again. And so this makes meaning very slippery. Or if you say something like, again, just to give you a more trivial example, if I say, we're all here as individuals because we're here to enjoy life and to experience life and, you know, to take it all in. Right, but, well, there's plenty of times in all of our lives, regardless of what we might show our Instagram followers, that we're not enjoying life at all. And we're not taking it in. And, you know, we're not having fun whatsoever. And it's quite the opposite. And there's plenty of times in our life that it's the exact polar opposite of that, when we're actually really not enjoying it for various reasons. And does that necessarily, you know, how does that then relate to your answer? If it's all about enjoyment, well, what happens to all the non-enjoyment? Are you trying to just minimize that? Because good luck with that. And that can itself lead to misery. Because you could just say, well, I'm just going to enjoy life and I'm just going to like take drugs because that's when I feel the best. Well, if you do that, you're going to suffer a lot at some point because of that habit. And the other problem with an answer like this is that a concept always implies its opposite. So to enjoy something, you also have to have the concept of not enjoying something also has to exist. Otherwise, you cannot say what enjoyment means. It's like as soon as you, when you draw a boundary, you know, when you draw a line down the middle of a piece of paper, you're not just drawing one side, you're drawing both sides, you see. So the right-hand side can't exist without the left-hand side. And so if you say, well, life is all about enjoyment, it's a very slippery answer. And so, again, we want life to be fundamentally meaningful, but maybe it's not. Who knows? And even when we give an answer, we can always ask again, is that actually meaningful? Or is there any problems with my answer? Another problem is that we're deeply attached to meaning. And so, I mean, I've mentioned this, but what I want to focus on is the fact that because we're attached to it, when we start questioning it, the person questioning it starts to seem like nihilistic or depressed. So like I'm sitting here questioning the meaning of life. And to a lot of you, and I can think of people I know who would interpret in this way, think, oh, well, Ross must be depressed, or Ross must, like, have no motivation to do anything because he thinks life is meaningless, or he must be, you know, bummed out, or he must think that, you know, this is just, like some frivolous game or something. And that is not the case. It's just that as humans, we're attached to meaning, and we don't realize that we're attached to it. So as soon as we question it, it's a bit like believing every word in the Bible is true. You know, it seems obvious until you question it, and you start to question, you realize there's no reason why every word in the Bible has to be true. The same goes with meaning. There's no reason why your meaning structures have any ultimate application or any ultimate sort of context. Does it have to be that way? Is it necessary? Can you feel that life is meaningful without that being the case? You see, this question is very subtle and very nuanced and very grey. But if we approach it from the standpoint of, well, I'm just going to live my life and I'm not going to think about meaning because that means I'm going to get depressed and nihilistic, I would say that says more about the life you're living and how you view what life is, rather than the fact whether life is inherently meaningful or not. Because why would questioning meaning necessarily be a nihilistic thing? That doesn't make any sense. I don't know what to say. There's a very big difference between meaninglessness and a-meaningfulness. Now, I know these are strange words. Well, meaninglessness, you know what meaninglessness is. A-meaningfulness means when something is neither meaningful nor meaningless. It's just a thing. It's just something without assigning meaning to it. Now, what I'm sort of poking at is the fact that life could be a-meaningful. We have to open our minds to that. There could be no ultimate meaning to it. And that's not to say it's meaningless, because meaningless is still meaning. It's just negative meaning. It's like you're assigning meaning to the darkness, or to the like depressive side of life, or to the fact that, oh, we're helpless and, oh, we're here as humans and it's all suffering and pain. You're assigning meaning to that. A meaningfulness wouldn't do that, you see, because it would realize that doing that is also applying meaning to something that might not have any ultimate meaning. Now, I'm not concluding that life has no meaning, or that life is meaningless, or that it's meaningful necessarily. I'm just saying that it's a very tricky thing, and I want you to notice how you're biased, because I know how people react to these questions, and it's very likely that me just questioning meaning makes you think I'm suicidal or depressed, or that I'm nihilistic, or I'm like bummed out. And that is not the case. It's just, you're being very black and white if you think that. There's another tricky problem here, and it's kind of like a strange loop type problem, is that the more you invest in the idea of meaning, the more likely you are to get hurt when that meaning structure gets torn apart. The more likely you are, in other words, to be hit with like a wave of meaninglessness. And this is why meaninglessness is a form of meaning. For example, right, let's say that work is the your meaning in life is basically your work, and that is it. You know, I ask you, what is the meaning of life? And you tell me, the meaning of life is my work. Right. Well, what happens if you're off sick? What happens when you break a bone and you're off sick for 6 months, not just a day? What happens when you get fired? What happens when you get made redundant? What happens when you retire? What happens to you? The more attached you are to this idea that the meaning of life is to work, the more it's going to hit you when you're not working. You're not going to be working all the time. And for that matter, what is the meaning of life when you're at home not working? You know, the more you draw that contrast, the more you're going to feel the downside, the more you're going to feel the meaninglessness, because you're attaching meaning, a lot of meaning, to the idea of not working, you see? And so craving, you see, this is how it goes full circle. Craving meaning leaves you open to a lot of pain, because as soon as you assign and equate meaning to something, you're also assigning meaning to the not something, but that meaning is meaninglessness, because it's actually coming from lack. You know, it's meaning because you're suffering about the lack of what gives you meaning. You see, so meaning is a very tricky concept. And it also calls into question, you know, if your life is all about work, and that's what gives you all your meaning in life, well, that's a very fragile notion, my friend. Because you're not going to work forever, for one thing. You're not working all the time. Even if you work 16 hours a day, you're still having to sleep. You know, it's a very fragile notion, and it's a very fragile meaning structure. And it's, to me, it smacks of trying to grab onto a very small segment. Well, it's not a small segment, a segment of your life, and trying to make that the entire thing. That is not a very satisfactory way to live or to understand the meaning of your life, because what happens, you know, what about the rest of it? Does it not mean anything? Well, and is that true? If you say the rest of my life doesn't mean anything, maybe that's not actually true. Maybe that's just because you have assigned a lot of meaning to your work. You see what I mean? The stronger a contrast you draw, the more you're going to feel the meaninglessness, and the more fragile your meaning structure is. So it's very tricky. And because meaning is such a fundamental need of ours, it's a very pernicious trap, and it's a very tempting trap to fall into. Another trick with meaning is that at each developmental level, meaning seems obvious and self-explanatory, to the point that we can say that meaning is essentially a program that you're running. For example, right, if you're a conformist person, you know, your ego development is conformist. If you want to know more about ego development, go to my website and search ego development, and you'll find some articles that explain these levels, but I'm not going to do that here. If you're a conformist, I can tell you right now that your meaning comes from being identified with your people, basically, and the customs and the kind of ways of life and the sort of social habits and so on of your people, your city, your nation, your religion, your family, your school. I can tell you that without knowing anything about you other than the fact that you're a conformist, because that is just the psychological structure of that developmental level. What does that say about meaning? That it's essentially a construction, because it's nothing to do with you, it's to do with the psychological software that you are running. Now, I'm not saying that this isn't effective, but if we're really trying to get to the rock bottom of this question, we have to take into account the fact that maybe we're not actually choosing what is meaningful to us. And that is not just a conjecture of mine. That is pretty much, you can derive that from developmental psychology. Another example, if you're an achiever, if you're the achiever level of ego development, without knowing much else about you, I can say in pretty broad terms that meaning comes for you from money, success, enjoyment, recognition, and personal growth. I don't need to know anything else. That is just how the achiever works. And there's a huge percentage of people that are at conformist or achiever levels. It depends on the country, depends on the population you're measuring, but more than half, I would say, are at conformist or achiever. So what does this tell you about meaning? You'll have to derive your own conclusions, but basically that it's not really a conscious process a lot of the time. It's because of the psychological software that we are running. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we have no influence. It's just that it's much more complicated than we might usually think it is. Another trick is that you can quite easily fall into meaninglessness. And in fact, we're always dancing between meaningfulness and meaninglessness. You'll notice that as you're living your life from day to day, week to week, month to month, there's plenty of times where you feel that life is very meaningful, and there's plenty of times where you don't feel it's meaningful at all. I know it might sound very bleak, but really look at your emotional state and your thoughts and, you know, your levels of motivation, your levels of optimism and so on, and you'll realize that there are times where you don't really think life is very meaningful at all. And so, again, this just reinforces the idea that it's this very fluid process, meaning it's not just a single answer, a single black and white notion that we hold all the time. It's very changeable. The final thing I want to say is that your sense of meaning drives everything that you do. It knits your life together invisibly. So think of your life as a web, like an interconnected web of, you know, events, emotions, circumstances, changes, people, places, times, you know, the whole thing, the whole experience is like this interconnected web. So your sense of meaning sits behind all of that, and it sort of drives it all, and it gives you like a coherent narrative about what on earth this thing called life actually is and why on earth you're living it, you see? And so it can be scary to see behind the curtain and to ask what is actually driving it all and why is it valuable. Maybe you find, if you question it, maybe you'll find that you don't really think your life is very meaningful. Or maybe you'll discover hidden meanings that aren't really expressing themselves. You know, maybe you find, for example, maybe you find art very meaningful, but your life has nothing to do with art and you're not pursuing that passion of yours. You might discover that you're misaligned and that you've been misaligned for a long time. And that can be very painful to admit to yourself. So what I'm saying here is that one, meaning sits behind everything we do, and two, it can actually be very painful to look at it and to really look at what drives us, because we are often in denial about it and we're often not really in alignment with what we find meaningful. So to conclude this section on personal meaning, I just want to basically say that personal meaning is a very you thing. Hence why I've resisted giving you very general answers, you know, lofty general answers. And ultimately, the meaning of it is that you construct the meaning of it. And your mind and psychology and your upbringing and everything that goes into you being you, that is what constructs the meaning of it. And that is scary. It can be kind of terrifying, actually, to realize that, because you have to realize that your mind all the time is assigning and chopping things up and deciding one thing is meaningful and the other thing is meaningless, and that you're constructing it all, and you have all kinds of justifications for why something is meaningful, but you're upholding it all. That can be terrifying, but it can also be very liberating, because you realize that you can kind of tell yourself the story that you want. And I'd also say, if you don't tell yourself a story, if you don't find anything meaningful, you're not going to be able to live life. And actually, you're going to be trapped in meaninglessness, which is just negative meaning. Why would you want to be trapped in negative meaning when you can generally find things meaningful and passionate, be passionate about them, even if you realize you're constructing the meaning yourself? So let's get on to the question of collective meaning, as I promised to you. The question we're really addressing in this section is, what is the meaning of life itself? As though life were sort of a third person entity. Now, of course, it's not a third person entity, but just to kind of orient the question a little bit, let's call this the ultimate meaning. Now, any good answer to this must include all possible individual meanings, because we're talking about the meaning of absolutely everything, right? So if we exclude anything, if we exclude the meaning of something, we're not doing it properly. It must include all of existence, everything that is, because if not, it's not satisfactory. And if it fails either of these criteria, it's not ultimate meaning, it's partial meaning. So for example, right, you could answer this question, you know, what is life itself about? You could answer it in, say, an anthropomorphic way. You could say, well, it's about humans coming into existence, and it's about humans, you know, developing societies and becoming technologically advanced and looking after the planet and all the rest of it. But that leaves out a lot of life, you see. That is not satisfactory. That is just, what is the meaning of human life, right? So when we're asking what is the meaning of life, it has to include everything. And again, this is a very tricky question, and we can't really even begin to address the answer to this, or a possible answer to this, without addressing the problems, because if we don't do that, we're going to get very biased about this. First of all, you can't understand collective meaning outside of your own personal meaning structure. And that's very obvious, because your personal meaning structure includes all your ideas about what life is about in a collective sense. And so it's highly dependent on your personal meaning structure. Crucial to know that, because if you think that, well, there's no point to all of this, well, that just tells me that you don't have much meaning in your life. It doesn't tell me anything about the actual nature of life itself, you see. Second, the only way you know life is through your own experience of it. Literally, you cannot know life other than your experience of it. Now, this might seem like a trivial question, but a trivial point, but what it really means is that whenever you're trying to understand the meaning of life, every single node that you refer to, every single kind of element that you refer to answer that question, it's all within your experience. It's all within your own sort of mind. And so you cannot really objectively answer this question. You're very biased in trying to come to a conclusion about this, and I include myself in that, because there's no escape from it. All of your ideas about the collective are just your ideas, and they are necessarily limited. So, of course, if your ideas about the collective are limited, the ideas about collective meaning are also very limited by necessity. And this isn't like a condemnation or a problem per se. It's just how it is. It's just the way the human mind works and the way that we relate to life itself. We cannot help but filter it all through our own mind. That is just how we operate. And I think we have to realize that in one sense, it's a complete mystery. You know, why are we actually here? Why does anything exist? Why is there not nothing at all? You know, why bother with all of this? Why have the earth and human beings and buildings and cities and countries and all of this and the animal kingdom and the entire natural world, both animate and inanimate? And then that's just one planet, as far as we know. Why even bother? Like, what is the point? And when you really start contemplating this, you sort of reach like a point where life seems very different to you, and you kind of, it blows your mind. You don't take life for granted as this thing that just has to exist because, hey, it's life. Yeah, but what is life and why is life exactly? Why? And I want you to notice there's no good, easy answers to this question. Like, our mind grasps for answers, but that just says more about our mind than the actual nature of reality. It's a very mysterious question. Why would life exist? Why? And you might say, well, it's nihilistic to say that life couldn't exist. But it's only nihilistic if you take life for granted. If you don't take life for granted and you don't take yourself for granted, there's no reason why you should exist or not. There's no reason why life should exist or not, really. And to say that it is to beg the question again. I think a key point in this question is that the mystery of life is unavoidable, and the mysteriousness of it is closely connected to the meaning of it. You know, if you contemplate the above questions that I've just given you about why does anything exist, why is there not nothing at all, why bother with all of this, you realize that we actually don't know. Right? Now, you could interpret that not knowing as ignorance, or you could interpret it as a kind of cop-out. Oh, we don't know why life exists. Let's just throw our hands up in the air. But actually, you could look at not knowing and say, well, why does not knowing exist? And maybe it exists because it's just, that is what meaning is. It's about not knowing the point. You see, what we can say is that life exists, right? That is undeniable. You're sitting here listening to this podcast. I'm sitting here recording this podcast right now. You can't deny that. That is undeniable. What is the point of it? Can you say, like, can you honestly give me an answer that stands on its own? I don't think you can, because any answer you give requires something other than life. It requires you to try and step outside of life, and there is nothing else. Life simply is its own point. Why does it exist? It's an unanswerable question, because as soon as you give an answer, you're trying to point to something bigger than life, and you cannot do that. Life is its own point. You can't actually ground it in anything. And that is actually, for me, that is deeply meaningful to me, because it relieves me of this need to try and find some ultimate meaning. And it just allows me to appreciate it for what it is without having to ground it in some abstract thing that tries to ground it when it doesn't actually ground it at all. And if you're spiritual, you might say, well, It's God. Life is about God. That's what the meaning of life is. It's about God. God is expressing itself, or whatever you think. God loves existence and God loves life in all of this. But, and that, to me, that is a good-ish answer, right? And I notice myself how my mind likes to cling to that. But again, it's just begging the question, really. I mean, why is that inherently meaningful? You know, what is the point of that? Why does God have to exist? It could quite easily not exist. You see? And if you think, for example, that God is everything and nothing at the same time, which is a pretty well accepted and, you know, well corroborated point of view on God, then why would God not just exist as an infinite abyss and nothing else? Why would any of this have to actually exist? Why would we have to have our sense of identity? Why would the human race need to exist? What is valuable about that from a God's perspective then? You see, so as soon as you try to ground it in a concept like God, you can question the concept. And again, I'm not doing this to be nihilistic. I'm doing it because we want easy answers. And actually, maybe the answer is in the very sort of space that's created when we have no fucking idea why we're here. You see, listen, my point of view is that all notions of ultimate meaning are just groundless. It's an unanswerable question. What is the meaning of life? Like, why is this here? It's an unanswerable question. You cannot answer that question. Life exists, and that is it. That is it. It exists. We know it exists. We may not have a clue why, but that is the answer. You see? You cannot know. And if you ground the answer in something else, you're trying to ground life within something smaller than life. And that doesn't make any sense. It makes zero sense. Meaningless is also groundless, though. So you might be, again, you might be listening to me and saying, well, you sound depressed right now. You sound nihilistic. No, I'm actually not. Because you see, meaninglessness is groundless because meaningless is just negative meaning. It's you assigning meaning to like the absence of meaning, shall we say. I know that's pretty circular logic, but I hope you understand the spirit of what I'm trying to say. It's very hard to describe. You know, meaninglessness is also a form of meaning, and all meaning is essentially groundless. Like, you cannot actually ground it in anything. And so meaninglessness is completely groundless as well, which means any sort of nihilistic, big picture nihilistic meaning structure you have is also kind of groundless, because it's not an ultimate answer, you see. I want to end this episode with a very kind of human grounded, you know, I've been talking at a very high level here, I admit that. I also think it's not so high level that it's sort of like totally impractical. I really hope I've helped you think about these things and not just take things for granted. And I've hoped to help you see things from big picture. But also there's the everyday meaning that we get from it. We don't have to be thinking about ultimate questions and the ultimate reason for us existing. And so what I want to do is give you sort of what I think my own personal meaning structure is on like a day-to-day basis, right? Very practical stuff. So I've written down a few points here. The first thing that I would say is that, you know, what is the meaning of my life? I would say, well, life is a bit of a roller coaster ride. Sometimes it's fun, Sometimes it's exhilarating. Sometimes it's terrifying. Sometimes it's even nauseating. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes you wonder why you're doing it. It's a crazy journey. And part of me just loves the journey. Part of me loves the kind of ups and downs. You know, when you're in the downs, it's not so easy to love it sometimes, but something deeper within me recognizes that you cannot have the light without the dark. I also see it as an amazing opportunity, an amazing thing to experience. You know, we could question, well, why does it exist versus not exist? But as soon as we just accept that we are alive and that maybe there isn't a reason, you know, why on earth not eat food? Why on earth not earn money? Why not see nature? Why not make music, in my case? Why not have friends? Why not make love? Why not have a family? Why not go places? You see, even if it hurts and it might seem pointless sometimes, it's still a miracle. Like, this is a miracle. It is a miracle that this even exists. Like, and that awe and that kind of like shock, that existential shock is very meaningful to me. And I don't even need to know why, really. I'd also say that my meaning changes so much over time, and I'm aware of how idiosyncratic it is. And I'm aware that my meaning is an expression of my own psychology. And that doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just shows me that I'm kind of making it up as I go along a little bit. You know, I can be fully invested in something and think it's really meaningful and all the rest of it. And then, you know, a few months later, it's gone and I don't care anymore. You know, I can love a song and I can connect with the song and I can feel like it gives me lots of meaning. And then I've listened to it 20 times and then I'm bored and it's like the opposite. I feel most meaning when I feel engaged and inspired by life. This is when I sort of, beyond words, feel that life is meaningful for some reason, just for the sheer beauty of it and for the kind of enjoyment factor. And again, that isn't to like make enjoyment ultimate meaning. It's just when we enjoy things, we do get a sense that there is meaning to this and it's worth it, you see, and that it's valuable. Beyond any philosophical kind of problems you might have with that. And ultimately, when I sort of step out and ask, like, you know, when I'm at my best and when I'm really engaged and when I'm on fire, what am I actually gravitating towards? And to me, what I'm gravitating towards is openness, freedom, wisdom, expression, and creation. This is like my meaning axis. This is like what I tilt towards when I'm in the mood, shall we say. Is there any point to it in an ultimate sense? I don't know. You know, I'm a very spiritual person and I know God and God gives me a lot of meaning, but maybe there's no ultimate meaning to God. Maybe it just is. And searching for the meaning of it is a bit of a fool's errand, as it were. I don't know if there's an ultimate point to me being here, but I don't mind. And I have the canvas, you know, I'm an artist, I have a canvas right here, so I may as well paint, you know, I may as well live my life as best I can. And plenty of times I don't do it as best as I can, but that's also part of it. The fucking up and the not showing up is also just part of the whole saga, you see. All right, everyone, so I have finished this month's series on tackling big questions, which let me know what you think, folks. I've in some ways I feel like I've bitten off more than I can chew. In some ways I've surprised myself. In other ways I don't even really care. You know, I just, this is what I think and feel about these things. And if it's got you to at least reflect and got you to kind of ask yourself some deep questions, then that's absolutely all I want. All right. So I will be back next month. In the meantime, I'll have snippets of these episode going up Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday. And do stay in touch. Sign up for the newsletter to stay in touch every fortnight. And if you like, you can try a free 20-minute coaching session with me. Head to the website deep-psychology.com for more details. Thank you very much for joining me, and I'll see you soon for the next one.